You weren't here yesterday.
Okay.
I think that would still be good. We missed you yesterday. You start with the summary.
Okay. The summary is... That's it.
Okay. Perhaps just briefly to look back... You know, there's a thought that occurred to me as we were singing this morning. The battle is about to begin, young people. I want you to realize that. The battle is not here at the conference. The battle begins when you go back to your home. And you begin saying, Lord, thank you for what you have given me. And now I want to begin to see the effects of this teaching in my life. Yesterday, and I'm just going to really recap this first part of chapter 3. I'll be very brief in this. That for those of us that have seen Christ in a new world, in a new sphere, we have new life in Him. We have the new man in Christ Jesus. I want to say a little word about Him that I didn't say yesterday. Have you ever heard people say that we have rough edges and they need to be worked off one and another, and they're compared to the stones that David picked up in the bag? I want to tell you something about this new man. He has no rough edges. Remember that. The new man has no rough edges. There's not anything that needs polished and smoothed with the new man. It's Christ. And it's the features of Christ coming out in your life, in mine. So then we looked at the very fact, what world am I going to be occupied with? If I could say it this way, it is going to become in your life and mine a matter of priorities. What is most important? In this world, there's many that believe that making money, getting a great education, that these things are most important. They're not anything wrong with getting a good education. Emil's reminded us. It's not anything. I'm glad we have doctors. I'm glad we have people that can give us eyeglasses and hearing aids and the various things that happen that we need in this world. Nothing wrong with that. But what is the priority in my life? That's what we want to see. Is it Christ? Is it His assembly? Am I seeking those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God? So then we saw then that the old man, he's resident with us. We saw yesterday that he has been condemned, that in fact Christ died for my sins, S-I-N-S, not S-I-N. He condemned sin in the flesh. That which brought forth the bad fruit has not been forgiven. It has been condemned. The bad fruit, the results of that old man, of Adam, in the fall in the Garden of Eden, the Lord Jesus in His work has completely forgiven us all trespasses. I want you to remember, all, everything that you have ever done or ever will do has been taken care of at the work, in the work of Christ. My relationship with Him is a bit different. That is my communion with Him. And when I get involved in things that are dishonoring to Him, the Spirit of God now is not going to occupy me with the beauties of Christ. He's going to occupy me with the failure in my own life. And so, we had the example yesterday of David. Failure came in. And we know the story of Bathsheba. And David cries to the Lord, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. With us, it may not be that same kind of sin. It may not be that. But it is anything that comes in that takes the place of Christ in my life on a daily basis. Lord, help me to have right priorities. Help me to keep the Word of God in its rightful place and to be subject to the Spirit of God. Then we saw yesterday that we were to put on as the elect of God. What a wonderful thing. That I and you, we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of this world. Wonderful, blessed position and place that we've been brought into. And then we saw bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We said yesterday, these are the very features of the Lord Jesus himself. And now the Spirit of God is working in those that have been bought back from the slave market. Those that were once slaves to Satan and did his work. And he is working in you and I that these features might be seen in our lives on a daily basis. So that brings us up with where we wanted to begin today. And I think this is such an important thing, young people. This matter of forbearing. I hope you talked with others in your group last night. Because if there were more of this matter of forbearing with one another, there would be less of the need of forgiveness of one another. You may come from a meeting where there are those who are not speaking to one another, but they break bread together. They remember the Lord together, but they won't speak to one another. There's a spirit of bitterness that comes in. And what I need to remember as a young person, Lord, help me to be a peacemaker. Whether it's among my peers here or as the Lord moves me on amongst the older brothers and sisters. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe there are difficulties with siblings or between you and your parents. Oh, how the Lord would use you and I, that Christ might be seen in our lives. That if, in fact, there is really a quarrel, and that's what this was. There was a quarrel that one had against another. I don't believe it's imaginary. I believe it was a real thing that had been done. And what are we to do? Let me ask you something. Is there someone today in your life, and they've done something to you, and you refuse to forgive them? I'll tell you something. You'll experience no blessing in your life until that wall is broken down. Forgiving, he says, one another, and how much so? But Brother Chuck, you don't know what she said. You don't know what they wrote on Facebook about me. I don't care what they wrote about you on Facebook. It's not relevant to this statement. I was forgiven unconditionally. So were you. Forgive. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That should be sufficient for others to help.